to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To begin this morning by reading from Matthew the 7th chapter, starting verse 12. It says, "Say unto them, ask of God, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and unto him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then said his disciples unto him, They will say unto us, We ourselves are righteous, and need not that any man should teach us. God, we know, heard Moses and some of the prophets, but us he will not hear. And they will say, We have the law for our salvation, and that is sufficient for us. And this is the basis of the gospel. We come here this morning to ask. We come here to receive the blessing that He desires for us. I pray that all of you will turn your hearts to the Lord, and that we together will receive the ministry that He desires for us, that we can come closer to Him and be His sons and daughters. Please bow with me over the offertory. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for the warm weather that's here and coming this week. And I just ask that you please bless this money that we're gathering today, that it would go towards your needs and toward anybody that needs help, that they might find you in the process. And Lord, I just thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, and please be with the speaker today that he might speak your words. And I ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In the name I pray, amen. Stand with us as we sing hymn 364. 364. The many blessings you've given us, Lord, and for this beautiful morning we've had to enjoy. I'd ask today that you would send your spirit to accompany us, and that you might prepare our hearts to receive the message that you have given David to share with us. Lord, please loosen his tongue, that your words might be able to flow freely from him, and that all that you have prepared for us and all that you have desires for us to hear, Lord, might make it to our hearts, Lord, that we might take them to be part of ourselves and part of our life, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
My scripture reading this morning to begin with will be from Luke, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 22nd verse. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all who believed on his name. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all those who were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears."
Strengthen me, Lord, that like them I may.
morning.
Good morning.
I welcome you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The scripture that I read to you from Luke was right after the Lord had just experienced his experience in the wilderness, in the desert. He had gone out for the 40 days and nights, and he had been, Satan had come to him and had proposed some questions to him, which he gave answers to, that responded to those questions in ways that we should respond to every question that comes into our life. He responded in that he said that it isn't by bread alone, but it's by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. And it is that response that we should yield ourselves to daily. Now, I'm so excited about this last week. Well, and even beyond that, but just particularly about this last week. There have been so many things that have caused my soul to rejoice. And my dad said earlier that he spoke in the class, and he said that there's times when he reads things and he has kind of an understanding of those things, and but then he wants to pray about it. And he wants the Lord to give to him the understanding that it is the truth. And when that happens to you, it. That the Lord's Spirit just pours out upon you. And you cannot restrain yourself from feeling the joy that it gives you in that understanding of those truths that he has laid out before us. I experienced that this morning as my wife was praying on our way to church. We had some scripture readings. We were finishing up those scripture readings that we had, the little thing that was the flyer that was put out. And I don't know if any of you were going through them through the week, but they were marvelous scriptures that were put out in such an order and very succinct. For day to day, it gave me strength. And I found Wednesdays particularly enthralling in my life. It was just gave me an added testimony to what I was going to speak to today. And what I've decided to speak to is liberty. And I know that, in a week from now, we're going to be celebrating President's Day. And, for me, when we look back upon the history of this great country, I see all the things that have taken place and all the opportunities that we have. And when I've traveled to other countries in the world, and I look at, I don't want to say it's a tremendous deficit, but there are some deficits there in those countries as far as the liberty in which those individuals who reside there can come unto God, can choose to do those things which would please him. Now, in our country, we have that liberty beyond anything that I can compare. And the Lord has promised in his word, especially in the Book of Mormon, he said in this country it would reside as long as we cared for it. And when Karen began to teach the Word of Wisdom class, I began to see some changes in individuals in this branch. And it wasn't just then. I believe it had been happening all along. But I began to see some take hold of those things which they could do for the Lord and for his kingdom. They began to see those precepts as something that they could implement in their life. For the Lord has told us that he has given us principles with promise, and that every one of those will be fulfilled. Now, you got two sides to that coin, if you will. They'll be fulfilled, and that you will be set free. You will no longer be in bondage. Or there's the antithesis to that, that yes, you will be in bondage. Jonah spoke last week, and he gave a wonderful, in my estimation, the Lord blessed him. And the Lord gave us words through him of how the Lord Jesus had come and done what he had done for us. That by placing himself in our stead upon the cross, that he had given us the ability to come unto our Father and to be the children of God, to claim that inheritance that God desires to give each and every one of us. Now I look at that, what he did for us. And I imagined in my heart and in my mind those nails being placed on his hands and hammered through his hands into the wood, and the same for his feet. And I imagined in my mind and in my heart the spear that was pierced his side, and all that done for my sake and for yours. And I wondered this week, as I contemplated this, how the heavens responded. And I know that there were tears. I know that there was sadness. And we know that there was, in God's will, in his feeling, that there was this sadness. Because in the temple, the veil was rent. And usually a renting of material is one done when one is mourning. But for me, when I think of it, it is bittersweet. It is bitter because I know that what I've done in my life caused that he should take that action, that he should come here and live amongst us and teach us of his ways. But in the end, he died for us. He died for me. And it is sweet because it gives me that opportunity to be in the presence of God, to claim that rightful position that is Jesus's position that he lends to us. Now we know that on every Sacrament Sunday we say the prayer of the bread. I'm not sure. I repeat this often when I preach because it is so important to me. Because God, I believe, works in this kind of relationship. Throughout his scriptures, he's covenanted with people. He's made contracts, if you will, with all of us, individually and collectively. He contracts with us. That if we do certain things, he will do certain things. And if we don't do those things that are obligations of our own to him, because he is our creator, then we lose that which he would have given. And there's one thing in particular. I don't know if you're familiar with contractual relationships or not, but when you go into a contract, and most of us have heard of buying a home if we haven't bought a home, and we know that when we go and we're beginning the contract for that purchase of that home, we have what's called earnest money. Anybody know what earnest money is or don't know what it is? It's when we put down a certain amount to lock into that contract. Now, nothing's happened yet. You know, we haven't done anything necessarily. The other side hasn't done anything necessarily. So there's nothing been committed. But there's that earnest. And the scriptures tell us that God has placed in our possession earnest. It is his Holy Spirit that when we entered into the waters of baptism and we had those hands laid upon our heads, those hands with authority, and conferred upon us membership in this body, that the Holy Spirit came to reside. And it says that we can continue that relationship by taking his name upon us. And we did that in the waters of baptism. By remembering him always. And we do that when we come before him as a body and participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And he says, and we keep the commandments which he has given us. His Spirit will reside with us always. And I will tell you now that that is where we will find liberty. It is a liberating concept. They will take away those chains of bondage that surround us. I spoke earlier that Jonah gave a testimony, my testimony, shared that with you last week, so I won't share it in depth, but I will share one portion of it with you. And that's as I was down in that my parents' basement for those 3 days, and the Lord spoke to me. And Jonah said this: there was a burden upon me, a weight that was like a giant stone. And I, the only time I ever had anything that even resembled it in my life was when we were down in Texas, South Texas, on the beach. And the sand was kind of wet and loose that day. And my kids dug this big trench. And my nephews were there, and I think I got down in it, and they buried me in the sand with about 4 or 5 inches of wet sand on top. And I couldn't get up. I couldn't raise myself up wholly. I had to like poke my hand up through the sand and, you know, push the sand away, and the weight of it was so great. Just that little bit of sand, wet sand. And that was the closest physical relationship that I could come to with what I felt, even though it didn't even come near it, what I felt on that those days when I was down in that basement. And the weight of my sin was upon me. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said that if you obey, if you follow me, then I will lift that weight. But he also told me that if I made a choice not to follow him that day, the weight would also be taken away. And I would be given over to those chains, to that bondage that I had committed my life up to that point to. And I can't express to you how wonderful it was when I said to the Lord, I will take choice number one and I'll follow you. And the Lord's Spirit filled me. You know, I don't know if it was an audible voice that spoke to me, but there were things that were spoken that I wished I had written down, but and maybe the Lord had a better plan for that. But from that moment on, my life was changed. And it was changed for the better. And I can't express to you, excuse me, all the joy that I have had. As the Lord has given me my immediate family, my wife Karen, my children. He's also given me you, my extended family. And I love what I have seen this last week and heard of. I don't know if any of you men know this or not, but there were 25 women who came to the women's meeting on Thursday night at Rowena's and Glenn's. And my understanding is they had a wonderful, joyous time. And the Holy Spirit was there with them. And presided over that meeting. And my understanding that it's not happened just this last Thursday night, but Thursday nights prior to that as well. And the joy that I even feel now in just telling you or expressing to you in words what I heard, because I wasn't there, is beyond compare. And I've even been on Facebook, and I don't go there very often. And I read of Stacy's testimony about the experience that she is having. She takes those principles with promise and implements them in her life. And I heard the testimony of Angie Pearson that as she put into action that loving nature that God desires us to have and that forgiving nature, and I understand that she forgave somebody that had wronged her, and how the Lord liberated her when that occurred. For she was bound with fear, not the fear that you learned was respect of God, ladies, but the fear that comes from us not being obedient to His commands. In Psalms 119, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I wish that you would take an opportunity to read Psalms 119 in its entirety and break it down and look at the different portions of it. It is kind of broken into sections anyways, but break it down and look at each verse and see those magnificent things that the Lord has revealed to us. He says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Excuse me. "So shall I have," excuse me, "wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate upon thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." And so we see that the Lord has given us his word to cause that we would be free, to no longer be captive to those things which bind us and afflict us, both spiritually and physically. And I have testified often that the word of wisdom is a principle to me, and that's section 86, word of wisdom. It's a principle to me of physical nature that yields itself understanding about the spiritual. Because in that word, we can test God. If we're obedient to that word, his promises are fulfilled. And I am a living testimony to you that that is true. And you know my testimony, that I was afflicted with an illness unto death. One that hundreds of thousands of individuals have died of. And the Lord blessed me and healed me. not anything that I did of myself, other than taking his word, or taking him at his word, and obeying that which he gave us. And when I did, his promise was fulfilled in me. It said that destroying angel would pass over you, that you would run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And the Lord has granted unto me years of life that I had no right to, because of the choices I made in my youth. But he is a gracious and a merciful God. And if we take those things that he has given us, and we learn of his ways, and we implement them in our lives, he is just, and he's righteous. And he will fulfill that which he has said he will do. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, it states this: Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And in what they were saying there, what Paul was saying, but the power of the Spirit, was that those things that were committed unto them, those things which were of a carnal nature, they were given unto the children of Israel after they left Egypt. If that was glory, how much more is that which Jesus has given unto us, even in this day, even through the restored gospel, will be glory unto us through the Spirit? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so when we obey his commandments, when we learn precept upon precept, line upon line, we grow in understanding. And the Lord gives us more and more understanding as he reveals his word unto us. And when I was reading those scriptures this last week, there were many of them, especially in the Book of Mormon, where it would talk of Nephi expounding upon the things that the Lord had done in his life. And he would tell about the things that he was not able to write. He was constrained. He was restrained from writing those things, because the Lord wants us to discover them on our own. He wants us to yield ourselves to his word in such a way that he will be able to reveal them, even as he revealed them to Nephi. And Nephi declared in 2 Nephi, that even as he was grasping this understanding, even as he was implementing it in his life and teaching it to his children, that even the angels of heaven came down and ministered to him. And we taught today in class about the angels. And I believe that that as we as a people are unified in our effort to keep the commandments of God, that He will even send His angels to minister to us. And He will deliver to us that which we hope for. That city whose builder and maker is God. Even Zion. I believe it will return. And only according to the faith of those who call themselves the children of God. Now, I would admonish you also to read Corinthians 4, 5, and 6, all three chapters, along with Psalms 119, and study that relationship that God desires to have with His people. Now, I spoke earlier about how I believe that this country is special, and that there have been special times, even in the history of this great nation, if you will, that I believe the Lord has spoken to us, even from individuals that we may not even have acknowledged necessarily, as someone by which the Spirit of God may be fruitful through. Now, we think of them maybe as great, and this particular individual that I'm going to speak of, we do think of him as someone who has had greatness thrust upon them. And his name was Abraham Lincoln. Now, Abraham Lincoln in his time was president during one of the greatest calamities that this nation has ever experienced. One of civil war. And at the end of one of the greatest battles of that war, he and several other members of the military and political community were gathered together at the battlefield that we know as Gettysburg. And he gave a little talk that day, and I say little because it's only about 2 minutes long. And he spoke after others had given 1 or 2 hour orations. And there were some who were disappointed, but it has become one of those shining lights in the history of this nation. And he stated 80 years ago. It's fortunate it's only 2 minutes long, because most of us are often required to remember it and repeat it in class, and we wouldn't want to have a speech that was 2 hours long to have to memorize. But he said, 80 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And truly, I believe that it was inspired of God for him to say that. And not only that, but I was doing a little historical account of it, and there are about 5 copies of the Gettysburg Address in Lincoln's handwriting. 2 were before he gave the speech, and 3 were after. The fourth one was they were going to use it as a fundraiser for veterans. And so they were going to auction it off. I don't know. But he printed it on 2 sides of paper, so they felt like it wasn't auctionable to have that. So someone else got it, and they kept it. And he did another one where it was on 2 different sheets of paper, handwritten script. But in those first 2, there was something missing that we know today is in there. And it was given as an account by those who were present, the reporters that were there, who stenographically took down all the speeches, and then they would report them in their newspapers. And this is what he added, if you will, on the spur of the moment. He says, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we were highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. He added, under God, those two words. They're not in the two original copies of his address. And you know, I look back over, retrospectively, over the words of the Book of Mormon, and I see as it repeats over and over again that the liberty of this nation, and if you go and you go to the word search for restoredgospel.com, and you search for liberty, you know, the word is used not so frequently in the Old and New Testament, but over and over again in the Book of Mormon. And often it's references to this land. And the obligation of the people here to maintain that liberty by their obedience to the Word of God. James 1:25 says, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And it spoke of looking into a mirror, was what preceded this verse, and seeing your own countenance. And what did you see? And walking away from that mirror, committed to that which you saw. And if we see ourselves are sinful, prideful selves, and that's who we will become when we walk away. That's who we will act as. But who are we supposed to see in our countenance? Jesus. We're supposed to see his image. And if we see that image and we walk away, that's who we will be. That's how we will react to all that goes on in our lives. In Doctrine and Covenants 85:24a, it says, abide ye in the liberty wherewith ye are made free. Entangle not yourselves in sin, but let your hands be clean until the Lord come. And so we see that liberty is that freedom from sin. And I say to you now that to be free from sin is your choice. God has created you to be free from sin. He doesn't want his creation sinful. He didn't create us to be beings that would do those things contrary to those laws that would give us all of the things that he desires to give. All those blessings. He created us that we might be free and that we might have liberty. The liberty to choose. To love the Lord our God above all other things. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, this last week, like I said, there were many things that took place. And there are some sad things. If we want to dwell on those sad things a little bit. But in the sad things in life, there still is joy. Because we know that greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world. We know that even if the Lord decides that this earthly flesh is going to be taken from us. And we're going to die physically. We have the hope that we will live. Because that is the promise of God to those who keep His commandments. Now, we had a prayer service yesterday for Burl Cornish, who's a patriarch of the church. And Burl's been afflicted with cancer, and we prayed for him here too. He's been mentioned several times. And it's stage 4 cancer. And I don't know what the Lord's will is for Burl. I know he'll be healed one way or the other, in this life or the next. But as we were gathered together yesterday, some words were spoken by Peter Cornish, Burl's son. And they inspired in my mind a thought that I hope was one that the Lord will agree with. And Peter stated this: we are in spiritual, and I am adding physical. We are in spiritual bondage, not by what anyone else has done, but because of our choices in life. And I know, and this is the thought that the Lord gave to me, I know that the Lord has given us a mechanism. He's provided a mechanism to the body for such bondage caused by physical, that's the PH one, and the fiscal, the FISCAL one, obligations that we have. And He provided it in the Old Testament. And this mechanism came at the year set apart after 7 times 7 years had passed. Okay, who can do their math? 7 times 7 is 49. Okay. And the year that followed would be what year?
50th.
The 50th year. Does anybody know what the 50th year is?
Jubilee.
The year of Jubilee. This is a year where the captives were set free. Where that which originally belonged to another was returned to them. It was a year of Jubilee. So if you don't understand it too well, what happens is that over those 49 years, if you by chance had to sell property or something like that that you had, or if you became indentured because you couldn't pay your debts and you had to become a slave to someone else, on that 50th year, all things reverted back to their rightful owner. The freedom of the individual who was enslaved. Certain properties that were granted as inheritances to certain families were given back to them. Even though other individuals had the ownership of them and reaped all the benefits of them for maybe those other 49 years. It was returned back to the original owner. And I suggest to you today that we must this day afford the Lord, our God, a year of Jubilee. To set at liberty that which we have possessed that belongs to Him, who is the Creator of all. To return to God what is rightfully His and has been subjected to our will. Let us return this existence, this body, this spirit that is in us, back to God through our obedience to His will, to His commandments. Because when that happens, we are going to be so blessed. He will pour out His Spirit upon us in ways that we will not be able to receive it. And the blessing will extend to all of his creation. And we know that the scriptures tell us that the earth groans for that liberating power. The power that will come when we, as a unified body, and that was part of what the scriptures that we read this last week were telling us, to be unified. If we as a unified collective member of the body of Christ, when we yield ourselves to the enticings of the Spirit, when we yield ourselves to the principles with promise, we are going to have those blessings poured out upon us. Excuse me. And Nephi wrote these words in 2 Nephi, the third chapter. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures. My heart pondereth them and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord. And my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me this great and marvelous work, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which so easily beset me. When I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded mine enemies, unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night time. Now it is my prayer that as we continue as a body here at Saints Haven, to yield ourselves to those principles with promise, that we will grow. And knowledge will come to us. And understanding will come to us. I have one last scripture that I want to read, and I'm trying to find it. And it's in the book of Alma, the 9th chapter. And it's the 15th through the 18th verses. And I'll leave you with this. And now Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, It is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under strict command that they shall not impart, only according to the portion of his word, which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given to him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full.
Praise the Lord. And I thank you all for being here this day and for the wonderful music that was brought to us and the ministry that everyone has come preparing to hear. It's my prayer that we truly will be set free by giving back what we have to he who it belongs to. Would you turn in your hymns to hymn 582.
579.
579, sorry, in this hymnal. 579, I apologize, it's different than the hymnal, I guess.
It's both.
Either or.
Oh, either or.
She's playing the right.
Either or, sorry. For this wonderful day that you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to come together and gather and praise your holy name and listen to your holy word imparted unto us, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each and every one of us to take the words that we've heard today to heart, Lord. We might apply it to our lives and that we would apply it to our seeking of your kingdom, Lord. We might always seek it first and seek to lift those up that are around us unto you, Lord, that they might share in your love and your glory. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.